All right, 2 o'clock call of the day here in a minute. So, Ireland, you know, you play fantasy football.
Yeah.
You don't play. I'm in a fantasy basketball league. I'm in a fantasy football league. I'm in a fantasy baseball league.
Mm-hmm.
My team in fantasy baseball is now up to seventh place.
And how many teams are in the league?
Eight.
Who's eighth?
A guy named Ronnie Chong.
Ronnie. You should not feel good about yourself,
no,
man.
Ronnie. I'm sorry, man.
You finished behind last place, Mace, and that is, you should have to do something. You guys should institute one of those embarrassment clauses.
Yeah. The thing that sucks about fantasy baseball is once you draft a team, you've got them for like 5 months. It's like, I got to live with this team for 5 months. Momo's team, which is generally guided by Uncle Phil, is doing well, middle of the pack. But yeah, my team, it's not my. I had a good fantasy football year.
You did. You finished in the money for the first time in years.
All right, call of the day, 2 o'clock call of the day, 1 through 10, John.
I'm gonna transfer my pick to Jorge. Jorge, pick a number between 0 and 11.
Let's go with 6.
6. Let's go to Mark in Chino Hills. Hey, Mark, what's up? Don't ask us how we're doing.
Hi, Mark.
Don't worry. Don't intend to.
What do you want to talk about?
Number one, the Lakers are going to win tomorrow night.
Good.
And mostly because LeBron is going to erupt, and I feel that Austin is going to have a big game. Moving on to the Dodgers, they're going to win this division by more than 10 games. I guarantee it. They got enough pitching. The youth is getting playing time, and the veterans are going to come around. And lastly, Aaron Rodgers is going to fail in New York. I guarantee the Packers will have more wins than the Jets. Rodgers, I watched him for 20 years. I'm from Wisconsin. He threw about 5 bad passes a year. And last year, he threw about 5 bad passes every game. He just doesn't got any money. He's going to be 40 years old. I don't see it, and I see the Packers with a pretty decent running game, young wide receivers to go with the quarterback. As long as they protect him, they'll be just fine.
Okay. Mark, thank you very much. That's a good call. Took on a couple of things. So, yeah, I don't, the Aaron Rodgers thing, I would assume that the Jets are going to be much better with Aaron Rodgers and with those receivers. And I think
that sounded like a disgruntled Packers fan
who's very upset. On the case of the Dodgers, so what was it? Like 10 days ago, I made
you declared them dead.
No, I said this is a very ordinary baseball team.
Yeah, I believe you used the phrase not going anywhere this year.
They started off the year 9-10, then they have gone 14-5 since then.
Yeah, say something else stupid about them because it apparently inspired them. Just, you think the 14-5 is a flash in the pan?
They need to do it over the course of a full season. Need to do it over the course of
a full season. Well, so far they're in first place.
Yeah, no,
there's only one place you can be in right now, first place, that's it.
They've played really well. Will Smith has been great. Freddie Freeman is, even Chris Taylor is running into a home run ball 5 or 6 times this year. Starting rotation, Julio's been really good. Noah Syndergaard has not been really good. Kershaw's been fantastic. Bullpen, a little better than it was early in the year. I still think the idea of them running away with the division and winning it by 10 games is silly.
I would tend to agree with you. I don't think they have enough pitching. And who would have thought Clayton Kershaw would be hands down their best pitcher?
Best
it isn't
pitcher.
Even debatable. Is Walker Buehler definitely out for the whole season?
Yes.
Like no chance of him pitching in the playoffs or anything?
There's a possibility he could come back at the end of the year, but I wouldn't expect it.
They're not expecting it. I think
but we all thought, at least Greg and I thought, that this was going to be the breakout of Dustin May. He hasn't been terrible, but
he's
been great.
Like 4-1 with a sub-2.5 ERA.
Right, but he hasn't set the world on fire like
no,
we thought he was going to.
But his last outing, he actually had like 6 or 7 strikeouts. He looked really good.
Yeah, and he still has like ridiculous. He's perfect for the highlight culture because he has these nasty breaking balls that, you know, go viral and, you know, so.
And Gonsolin had a reasonably good start this last time out, went 6 innings, allowed 3 earned runs.
So if they
really
could,
the home run.
So I'm thinking about if they make it to a playoff series.
Yes.
If Julio Urias gets back to being Julio Urias, and he's been showing signs of doing that lately, you have him, you have Kershaw, you have Dustin May. That's all you need in the playoffs. You basically need 3 starters. If you get ahead, you can pitch a 4th guy. But if you had to, you could go to a 3-man rotation and do that. So I think they got a shot. I mean, like you always say, get into the tournament and then roll the dice.
Yeah,
I mean, think they can get in.
I think this is a team that's going to win 90, 91, 92 games, somewhere in that range. Bergman, do you think, are you,
I was
of the Dodger Blue Review.
I am, but with Clinton Yates. But it's, I was always saying 95. I think they're good enough to win that division, and it's, I mean, I would expect the Padres to win, but if they
can we call
like
that
this,
the Blue Review starring Greg Bergman with his little buddy?
I mean, you can call it whatever you like.
Yeah.
I don't think he would like it, but really, that's
yeah,
fine.
No,
he has to promote
it
first.
Big CY
before he
might not
anything.
Like it. Big, right. Big CY in the sky. So, yeah, why
Big
is.
Big CY in the sky.
Why is Big CY in the sky not promoting the Blue Review? Why is he not amplifying it?
Well, how do you know he's not?
He's not.
I believe that's how
what,
we know.
What, he never mentions it on, like, Around the Horn or anything?
Well, definitely not on
what
Around
the
Horn. What
about on Twitter?
No.
No!
Does not promote it, does not
does
retweet it.
Does not promote it on Twitter.
I've talked to him about it.
That's
he said
weird.
He will at some point.
All right.
But, you know.
That's very weird.
It's really just about what he wants to do. And the more I talk about it, because he's listening, he's always listening to the station, so I want him to hear that I want him to promote it.
Well, see, when we talk about Clinton
Yates, like Carlo and DeAndre and Parker to promote it, they're good at that.
They do. They do promote it.
They promote it, yeah. Right. But, I mean, you would think Clinton Yates might say, hey, I'm on a show with my chippy friend Greg. And
Chippy pal.
My chippy pal. My buddy, all right, so
I miss those commercials from my childhood.
Buddy Lee?
No, my buddy.
My buddy.
Oh, is that there was an actual thing called My Buddy? I remember
it was,
that.
Yeah, it was a toy. It was just a little.
I miss a lot of toys from when I was.
Yeah,
a kid.
Somebody on Twitter said Toys R Us. Like,
and it was a toy store.
Remember
Toys My Buddy and Kid Sister.
I'll tell you what, a bookstore. I miss a bookstore.
They still have them. The last bookstore.
The last book. Yeah, but I mean, bookstores aren't what bookstores.
It's really cool.
Were. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, they still have they still have Barnes and Nobles.
I know of one video store.
Is it
there's
the one
a
in
video
Oregon?
Store called no. There's a video store called Vidiots in Santa Monica.
I miss record stores. I used to like to go into
Amoeba
record stores.
Music.
Yeah. Tower
a record store. Amoeba, Amoeba. Yeah, but the point is that there used to be record stores everywhere
you're
you
right.
could go through. And now there's like you can say, oh, I know where the video store is. I know where the bookstore is.
What about arcades? You don't see very many arcades
cool.
anymore.
Cool. Arcades, yeah.
Dropping a quarter.
Yeah.
Play Mortal Kombat for hours.
Oh man. Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Street
Marvel
Fighter
versus Capcom.
Oh yeah.
See, I was
you drink at them. Now there's bars where you can play video games.
I remember Pong. That's how I do you remember Pong?
Sure.
I had a Pong.
The most basic video game of
it
all
was,
time.
I mean, it was revolutionary when it
spin
happened.
Spin the dial and it
we
moves
used
up
to
and down.
Sit in this bar called Sean's Back Door. My dad would go there and drink with Father Wilhelm. And he would leave me and my brother playing Pong all afternoon long. And let me tell you something, Father Wilhelm could drink my dad under the table. That guy. All right, let me see here. Oh, you know, John, you found this Doris Burke conversation.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. You go to every single arena all over the NBA every single year.
Right.
And Doris Burke put out her list of her favorite arenas. Here that is.
So my five favorite arenas in the NBA, certainly some of the more challenging places to win NBA basketball games. It has to be San Francisco and the Golden State Warriors. My goodness, you just look at their home record. Steph, Clay, and Draymond, damn near unbeatable in their home arena. Number five of the five toughest arenas, Golden State. Philadelphia, home of the 76ers. And here's the part about Philadelphia fans. If the home team isn't playing well, they're just as likely to let the 76ers know as they are the opponents. Philadelphia, tough place to play. Number three, light the beam, baby. Domas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox did plenty of that. The 17-year playoff drought is over, and that building is starting to take shape and a soul, very much the way Arco Arena did in the heyday. Number three, Sacramento. So number two of tough, great environments to play in the NBA has to be the Boston Garden. That is a passionate, knowledgeable fan base. And they are accustomed to winning, but here's a great moment that happened in a loss in the Kevin Garnett, Doc Rivers days. They are losing a painful playoff game. The game's over with 5 minutes, and the entire crowd stayed. And all you could hear throughout the arena was, "Let's go, Celtics." Doc Rivers, the entire group was moved. What an incredible environment in Beantown. So number one, best environments to play in the NBA, it has to be Madison Square Garden. There is a reason the likes of LeBron and Michael and all the great stars had hoped for their signature moment on Broadway. The beauty of MSG is, for all those lean years when the Knicks were not making the playoffs, could be a random Saturday night, and as long as the Knicks were in the basketball game, boy, MSG was on fire. What a passionate, perfect place to play basketball.
Okay, so what she's doing there is, it's not necessarily the nicest arenas, it's the arenas with the toughest crowds, right?
Well, she was. I think she phrased it toughest place to win.
Toughest place to win, yeah.
And then she kind of switched it up.
Yeah.
And said, you know, started talking about the fans and the environment. So she, I think that at the end of the day, she just picked her five favorite arenas.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting is my five are completely different than her five. We have two of the same five. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, got it.
So if I had to do that list,
yep.
Over to, number five is Indiana. Indiana has the coolest arena. Have I ever told you about this arena in Indiana? It's an old field house, and all the advertisements are hand-painted.
Oh, wow.
And cool. So they did it like as a tribute to the movie Hoosiers.
So it's super old school.
Yeah, so that's like, if I was going to send you to an arena, like you said, I want to go around the league and visit five great arenas.
Right.
That would be one of the five.
Okay.
All right. Number four, I would send you to Chicago because that's where Michael Jordan won the titles. There's the statue of Jordan outside. You know, Chicago's a great city to go to.
Yep.
But the history of the NBA with, you know, the retired numbers are Phil Jackson and Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman. So I'd send you to Chicago. Number three, and I'm surprised this wasn't on Doris's list, is Miami. It's an arena right on the water. And, you know, they had that heyday with the Heatles.
Yep.
But at the same time, Miami is just a great crowd. The dancers in Miami are like, if you're going to rank the dancers around the league, Miami won, everybody else.
Everybody else.
Not just Laker girls. Everybody else, 2 through 30. That's how good the Miami dancers.
Wow.
And the, like, ask Sedano when he comes in. It's like a great, like, if you, again, if my goal was to send you to five arenas that you would really enjoy.
Right.
Number three would be Miami. And then her top two are my top two. By Boston Garden, too, because of the history of the game, and there's nothing like being a Laker fan in Boston Garden. They hate us with a passion. They're MFing us the second we go out on the court.
Right.
And there is nothing like winning a game in the Garden against that team. Nothing. And my number one is her number one. Madison Square Garden, you lived there for a year. It's the coolest arena in the league.
It is really cool.
It's right, you're walking down the middle of New York City, and you turn left, turn right. It's on the corner of 7th and 33rd, and boom, you're in the Garden.
Yep.
And there is a palpable buzz in there, and it's the only arena in the league where the celebrities in the crowd can rival ours.
Right.
You know, that's the only place where you look around the crowd and go, oh my gosh, you know, there's Spike Lee. There is Chris Rock. There's the whole cast of, there's Jon Stewart. There's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Right.
You know, so MSG would be my number one.
All right, there you have that. I've been to MSG. I've not been to
So if I give you a choice, like the three, she had Golden State, Philadelphia, and Sacramento.
I've wanted to go to Golden State. I've not been to the Chase Center.
It's okay.
It's just okay.
When they were in Oakland, it was the loudest building in the league. Chase Center's kind of corporate.
Is it?
Yeah. A lot of suites.
So there's not...
Very expensive to get in.
So it's not a great...
They offered me discounted tickets to the game the other night.
Yeah.
That was nice. And the Warriors, they have the best PR guy in the league, Raymond Ritter. He's
just
awesome.
Yeah, he got a shout-out last night on TNT.
Yeah, he's the best. So he calls me before every Laker-Warrior game. Tomorrow at some point my phone will ring. Hey, need anything? What do you need? Blah, here's what's happening with us. Blah, blah. And he does it. Every member of the traveling media.
Wow.
And his staff's great. They're really great. But so he offered me discounted tickets, good seats. Yeah, good seats. And they were way discounted.
Yep.
$700 a pop.
Boy,
just to get in. That's discounted.
$700 a seat.
Right. So when they were in Oakland, you could afford to go in. Now they've gone big time corporate. They're like us.
Right.
It's just super hard to get in. And same with the Knicks. The Knicks tickets are insane.
Yeah.
They're like super expensive.
All right. Coming up next for you, the Lakers versus the Warriors tomorrow night in game six. What's the line? What's the right way to bet the game? Anita Marks will join us next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Boom! How do you like that one?
See? Something came out of that phone call yesterday. Mason in Ireland, what's up? Day after the Lakers lose in San Francisco, forcing a critical, John, I like to call it a pivotable game six.
Pivotable?
What does pivotable mean?
It means just super important. Everybody says pivotal. I say pivotable.
I don't even know what that means.
Means the same thing. It's just a fancier way to say it. Do we have Anita Mark standing by? Tomorrow night is pivotable, Anita.
Okay, I call that a Marxism, so I feel you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so Anita, first of all, I want to thank you. We got our Lakers shirts in the mail to you.
That
was very nice of you to send. But I watched you yesterday. Your hair still looks, your hair, as Mason would say, is on fleek. Looks very good, Anita. But you're wearing a Heat shirt. What do I got to do to get you to wear a Lakers shirt on the air?
How about this? I'm on tomorrow, Daily Wager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What time am I on tomorrow? I think we're on at 5 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow. I will wear a Lakers shirt for you tomorrow. How's
beautiful.
That?
Beautiful.
So now, 2 o'clock here in L.A.
Moment of honesty, though, Anita.
Should I wear my AD shirt in a wheelchair?
Yes.
Hey!
No, go right ahead.
Mason
said at the start of the show today, he wants AD to come out mad. He wants AG to be Charles Jefferson from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Remember when they wrecked Forrest Whitaker's car?
Yep.
And Sean Penn just crashed it.
Yep.
And they made it seem like the other team did it. Anita, Mason wants you to pick on AD because he wants AD to get mad out on the Warriors.
I want AD pissed off for tomorrow
night. Since you're going on Daily Wager tomorrow, give us your thoughts on Game 6. Who wins? How do you look at that game?
Well, if he heard Shaq and Charles Barkley laughing at him that he had to leave the arena in a wheelchair by getting elbowed by Looney, yeah, you know what? I'd be ticked off, too. I'd be coming in. They were making fun of him last night on TNT.
Yep.
If that's what they need to do today. They just need to play that on a loop.
And get him fired up that way.
And get him fired up. That's what needs to happen.
But if you were betting the game tomorrow night, now I work for the league, so I can't bet any NBA, but you can. You always do.
What's
the way to bet it? What do you like? What don't you like?
So right now the Lakers are favored at home at 2.5. The over-under is 221. And besides looking at my T-shirts and my long flowy hair, hopefully you listened to what I had to say.
No, I watch with the sound off.
I listen to the words, Anita. Yeah.
I listen to you when you're on with us, but on TV, I'm just checking it out.
Right.
We just read.
I'm completely superficial.
Column.
Yeah.
Care about what you say.
So I feel the Lakers planned this perfectly. I said this on Daily Wager yesterday. They set out what they intended to do, and that was to take one in the Bay Area, come back, win two at home. I'll be honest with you. I won't use the word shock, but surprised that LeBron and AD played as many minutes as they did. I'm not going to steal a page out of Greeny's playbook.
Yeah, you're not going to do the Greeny thing, are you?
I'm not going to do the Greeny thing, but listen, come in. Get a feel for the game. Get a feel for the flow. Was Curry hot? Obviously, Draymond Green was on fire. And then feel it out. Come back. Close it out at home. The Golden State Warriors are horrible on the road. You're talking about an offensive net rating fifth best in the NBA at home, 23rd on the road. So I called this series. I called this series in six. I've got the Lakers winning 4-2. I laid it, you know, after they won game one in at Golden State. So I'm
are you
lay
laying the 2.5 tomorrow night?
I'm laying the 2.5 tomorrow. Nice. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And I'm going to take the over in points, assists, and rebounds for AD. It's been averaging somewhere around 38, 39, 40.5. So I'm with you. I think he comes out like, and again, I've been following what the reports are. McMenamin was on the NBA show earlier today, and he said that he has an insider who's close with AD. I'm doing air quotes right now while I'm talking to you.
Okay.
It's kind of weird.
Good.
And apparently that there's no way he's missing this game. There is no way he is missing this game. So, yeah, I like the Lakers to win tomorrow.
Anita, how do you like the game tonight? It's kind of a weird one. It's at Phoenix, but Chris Paul's out and DeAndre Ayton is questionable. Some people say he's out too, but at this point, his official designation is questionable. Nuggets look pretty good the other night in Denver. How do you see that going tonight?
Does it even really matter? It's a two-man team, right? It's KD and it's Kevin. It's Devin Booker, and they're playing over 40 minutes, and they're each putting up over 40 points, although they did not in Denver that last game, and a big reason why Denver won. So I'm actually surprised. Denver's getting the points tonight, guys. So I'm on Denver. Give me Denver. Give me 2.5. I think Denver found the elixir, the secret sauce on how to try to contain. You're not going to stop Booker. He's been unbelievable. But, you know, if you hold him to possibly 28, 29, no more than 30 points, I think you've got a really good shot of winning this thing. And also, you can play a in-game, it's called an in-game parlay. So how I'm playing this is I'm going to play the Nuggets plus 2.5, and I'm going to play Jokic over 29.5 points. So it's a same game parlay. That's what I'm playing tonight. That's my best bet.
Okay, the other game tonight is in Philly, and the Sixers are actually dogs here with Boston on the ropes. How do you see that game?
Yeah, I like the Sixers here as well. I feel that this is a Sixers team that through the course of this series have found the same thing. They have found the secret sauce. They have found the way to really defend the Boston Celtics. So I do like the Sixers. Give me the Sixers plus 2.5. I like the over here. It's probably my favorite bet, the over of 212.5. Very fast-paced game here between these two teams, between Jaylen Brown and Maxey putting up 30 points in game five. One prop bet that has been an ATM for me is Marcus Smart over points and assist, and it's sitting right now at 18.5 tonight. So combined,
oh, he might do points, that on points alone.
So wait a minute, it's points plus assists.
It's points and assists combined at 18.5. It has paid off in every game except one. It has been an ATM for me. Marcus Smart, love that guy. Love that cat. Love his green hair. Love the way he plays.
Yep.
All right, Anita, you've been with us long enough to know that my specialty is really, really dumb questions. So here's my dumb question of the day. The NFL schedule comes out today.
Mm-hmm.
You already know who's playing who. It's just a matter of where these games are, when they are. You were going to get a firm schedule today. Does that move the lines at all? Does when these games get announced today, will there be lines? Will there be more action? Does the schedule release mean anything in the gambling world?
Absolutely. First of all, you know, because of the leakage, which, by the way, I already have the schedule, but if you already
have the entire schedule for all teams?
I have it because we have a special show tonight on ESPN Plus. So we're doing a schedule show tonight. So we already have it, but I was told if I relinquish any information, I will be fired. So,
well, don't do that then. But you can still answer my question without revealing it.
I can't say anything. But I preface that by saying there are a number of games that have already been leaked. So if you want to go on whatever, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, whatever, there's a number of games have already been leaked. There's spreads out there. But here's what's interesting. And odds makers are getting this information as well. A lot of it, you know, so if there's a team out there that's got four road games in a row, or if there's a team out there that has two Thursday night games and doesn't have a rest advantage before that Thursday night game in regard to the opponent that they're going up against. Those are the things that will affect the lines and the spreads and the odds makers and how they're formulated.
All right, so Anita, I've got my...
So to answer your question, yes.
I've got my iCal open, and it looks like you are on from 7 to 9 tonight. Do I have this right?
I am on from 7 to 9.
I always keep track of when Anita's doing her show.
Well, you know what's impressive about that? That's 10 to midnight where Anita is.
Yeah.
So she's burning the midnight oil, and literally.
Tonight she's actually betting L.A.
I am betting.
Yeah, you're not L.A. for once. That's awesome.
I am betting. So tonight is going to be really fun because we're going to do a deep dive into the NFL schedule that has been released. We'll talk Rams. We'll talk Chargers. We'll talk Raiders. We'll go through their schedule. What are some of the lines out there already with their games? We'll talk, obviously, a lot of NBA. So I'm excited. We're going to have a lot of good content tonight. So be sure to listen in.
Awesome. And we will look for you in your Lakers tee tomorrow on Daily Wager, 2 o'clock LA time. Hey, thanks, Anita. Appreciate you as always.
You got it.
All right. There's Anita Marks. Coming up next, John, there's a very well-known celebrity, certainly in our world, who is upset because NBA players aren't acknowledging him. But there's an obvious reason for why. That's coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay, Ireland's late from the can, so you know what that means.
Mason
and friends.
I almost got Lydia'd.
What is... Oh, that's the worst. I love Lydia.
Right. Lydia is one of the people on our cleaning crew here, and if you go to the bathroom... Like, Mason and I have to go to the bathroom in very specific time slots.
Yes.
We basically have 2 minutes, and it's a pretty long walk. So if Lydia is cleaning when you're back there, you're hosed, but I got in just under the wire.
Good. Excellent. You made it back.
Very exciting.
So that actually delays the launch of Mason and Friends. So, John, we love Howard Stern.
The greatest.
Howard Stern is one of, if not the greatest radio personalities of all time. And I would argue that when you turn on the radio, we are all in some way derivative of Stern and what he has done over the years and what he does to this day. So he was concerned because he's been going to NBA games, playoff games, particularly at Madison Square Garden in New York, where he makes his home. And he was not, none of the black players were talking to him. He was concerned. He's like, why are the black players not talking to him? And I found some very funny tweets about this. Why would any NBA player under the age of 30 know who Howard Stern is? Fair question. It's cute that Howard Stern thinks NBA players who have an average age of 26 years old have any idea who the hell he is. The average age of an NBA player is 26, meaning they know as much about Howard Stern as I do about Jack Parr.
Right.
Though basically, Howard Stern is not in the wheelhouse of the average NBA player, as iconic as he is.
Right. So this is something that I think most people take for granted. I'll give you a similar story. So Bill Simmons had Matt Ishbia, the new owner of the Suns,
yes,
on his podcast. So Ishbia is very famous among Michigan State people. He played for Michigan State. He played for Tom Izzo. He was a backup point guard on their 2000 national championship team. That was the Flintstones team with Mateen Cleaves and those guys. And so in this podcast, Simmons asks Matt Ishbia about Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
And Ishbia doesn't hold back. He just comes right out and says, you know, oh, you've got it?
Yeah,
all right,
got
so
it right here.
Here's Ishbia.
I have to ask you about the vote to approve you as the owner was 29-0 with one person abstaining, which led me on a whole Google deep dive. And you have this little business rivalry with Dan Gilbert, the Cleveland owner, who decided not to vote. He abstained. He abstained on the vote, and it was 29-0 instead of 30-0. Which got me excited because we haven't had a lot of owner feuds in the NBA. Is this a feud? What's going on here?
So listen, I can go talk for hours on it, or I'll talk for a minute. And the minute's probably easier. Is like, he doesn't like me and I don't like him, right? That's how it is. Business, his company used to be number one in mortgage. UWM, my business, is number one in mortgage. I don't like the way they do business in a lot of things. He probably doesn't like the way we do things. We're in the same town. We compete. We're winning. That's what it is right now. And the reality is, people ask me what I thought about that. Like, I knew without a question that that'd probably be how he handled it. And the best part is now you get to see who I see. Very simple. Now you see who I see and what I know about that man.
So he didn't hold back at all.
No, did not hold back.
So Max Christie, who plays for us,
yep,
is a Michigan State guy.
Yes.
And I've asked Matt, he's a really good kid. He's like 20.
Yeah.
And so I asked Max maybe a month ago, mm-hmm. I said, hey, do you know this guy, Matt Ishbia? He goes, oh, yeah, everybody knows him. He's a big Michigan State donor. He comes to our practices. Yeah, we know him really well. And I said, well, so that was maybe a month ago. So last week I saw Max and I said, hey, did you listen to Bill Simmons' podcast? And he said, who's Bill Simmons?
Who's Bill Simmons?
And I went, whoa. There are NBA players who don't know who Bill Simmons is. And Max goes, yeah, I just don't know who he is. I know Ishbia. And I told him about it. And he goes, okay, I'll check it out. And then I ran into Jordan Knott, who's one of our assistant coaches, who also worked with Tom Izzo and is around Michigan State all the time. And Jordan was like, oh, yeah, I listened to it the day it came out.
Right.
I listen to Simmons all the time. It's great. But Jordan's older.
Sure.
You know, we just assume
that everybody watches and listens to the same stuff that we do.
Right. That younger people are going to, like, worship Howard Stern like you and I do.
Right.
They don't.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. I'm shocked how many times we'll say stuff and Jorge and Greg will go, who's that? Like we were talking about TV shows earlier.
Yeah.
Jorge, do you even know what we're talking about when we say Hill Street Blues?
No. I told Greg the other day, I was like, I didn't watch a lot
that
of
that one
TV.
Goes back to 1980.
What about any of those other shows I was talking about, like Suddenly Susan or The Single Guy?
Oh, God, no. I don't even think the cast barely remembers those shows. Those were not big hits.
Right. This but is cheers, the, by the way, know. This is the theme from Hill Street Blues.
It's a great show. It's a great show.
Yeah. Written by Mike Post. Wasn't he the guy that did all
did the theme song and Stephen Bochco songs? Produced the show?
I know now, a Marky Post.
But you know Cheers. A lot of the shows you did know. You know Cheers. You know Seinfeld. You know Happy Days. Like, you got to know Happy Days, right?
Yeah.
But we just...
Three's Company?
I don't know that one.
You don't... No. Don't know Three's Company. I haven't seen...
No.
Like, I used to say that I couldn't go out with a girl who couldn't name all four of the Beatles. And now most girls can't name any of the Beatles.
Well, most girls of your age probably can. Unless you were...
No, but I'm talking about, like, if we asked Laura, who's sitting back there, do you know all four of the Beatles?
Nope.
No.
She's saying no. She
says
knows three.
Maybe three.
Yeah, nobody knows George, do they?
No, it's Ringo that
Ringo,
they all
they
forget.
No,
is it Ringo you don't know?
Yeah,
yeah. Ringo.
Right, but to me it's unfathomable that a person walking this earth couldn't name all four of the Beatles, but there's, I would say the majority of 20-year-olds can't do it.
Oh, the majority.
Could you name all four of the Beatles?
John, Ringo, Paul, and...
The one
George?
I just mentioned.
Yeah,
George.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it we assume that, like, and this Howard Stern story is a good example. We assume that, like, how could somebody not know who Howard Stern is?
Well,
he's the word I'm looking for, omnipotent. He's everywhere. That's not the word, right? What's the
omnipresent?
Word?
Omnipresent?
Yeah,
he's,
something like that.
Yeah, he's one of those things.
Omnipotent
is
you know everything.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, I think that when you get down to it, everybody's got their own frame of reference. And
right.
So we all bring our own frames of reference to the show. Jorge, you bring your frame of reference. Same with you, Bergman. We're all of different... are you in the same generation as Jorge? Not really, Bergman.
I mean, a little bit higher. I'm 39, almost 40.
Yeah,
so.
We're 3 years apart.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, I'm younger than John. But so I'm a Gen Xer, and he's a baby boomer. So technically, we've got a millennial, a Generation Z, a baby boomer, and
he's not Gen
X.
Millennials.
Are you not Gen Z?
No.
I'm on
millennial.
What year were you born, Jorge?
86.
Okay.
So I'm right on the edge of X and millennial.
Yeah, I'm X.
Yeah, I'm right on the
John's
edge.
John's baby boomer.
You guys are ridiculous.
No, it's totally an
okay.
honest God truth.
Mace, I know you'll know this answer, but Lake Show Boss just asked a good question.
Okay.
Don't answer this, because I know you'll know.
All right.
Do either one of you know who the fifth Beatle is? The guy they kicked out to bring Ringo in?
I do know it. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Jorge, you don't know?
I don't.
Oh, God.
Mace,
right
you know, right?
Yeah. Tongue. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
It's a four-letter word first name and a four-letter word last name.
Oh, my God. I know it. He was the drummer, and then they brought in Ringo.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of somebody? Best. Yes, Pete Best.
Oh, wow. Pete Best. I was thinking, who's Pete Stark?
I don't know.
Oh. See, oh, I knew it, and Mason didn't know.
Yeah,
it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know, you do that with the average thing. Ask the average person how many senators there are. They don't know.
But,
ask them.
But
person
I always think about
who the vice president is. They always do this. They go to a park. They say, "Who's the vice president?" And I don't know.
I'm fascinated by the road not taken.
Okay.
Like it came out this week that Matt Damon turned down Avatar to do the Bourne movies.
Yes.
And in so doing, he left hundreds of millions on the table.
I actually have that on this page. $240 million he left on the table.
So I think about in the beginning of American Idol.
Yep.
There were two hosts.
Yes.
Ryan Seacrest and a guy named Brian Dunkelman.
Yep.
And Dunkelman was out after the first year. And so he's got to walk around wondering, okay, if they pick me instead of Seacrest, I'm now, Ryan has turned this into a,
sure,
he might be close to a billionaire
empire,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's always stories. Like, think about this. When Phil Jackson got picked to run the Knicks.
Yes.
You know who he tried to hire to be the coach?
No.
Offered it to him. He was told yes, thought he was coming. Steve Kerr.
Right, I remember that.
A week later, Steve Kerr had to call Phil, who he played for, and say, "Hey, I've been offered the Warriors job. My daughter is going to Cal. It's going to be a nice chance for me to connect. I think the roster is a little bit of a better fit for me. I'm going to take the Warriors job instead of the Knicks job." If Kerr takes the Knicks job, what does that do to the Warrior run?
Dynasty, right? Yeah. Is there a dynasty?
Who do the Warriors hire at that point? You know, so I'm always fascinated by kind of the road not taken. That I read those game change books, those political books.
Yes.
So when John McCain was running for president,
mm-hmm.
did he run against
Obama?
President Obama?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
the first time.
Right. The polls were very close,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people were lobbying McCain for vice president candidates. He thought about even taking Joe Lieberman, a Democrat.
Yeah.
And they were going to do
a unity ticket.
Right. And he decided, he goes, "I need a big swing."
Yeah.
And he picked Sarah Palin.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yep.
If he doesn't pick Sarah Palin, do we even get President Obama?
It's true.
It's fascinating to think about.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
By the way, what if I told you?
What if I told you?
That Brian Dunkelman actually quit American Idol.
Did he really?
Yeah. He quit
voluntarily?
He said,
so that makes this even more of a...
He said, "This is really awkward with two of us hosting. I'm going to step out of this project." And Ryan Seacrest took it the rest of the way, and Dunkelman quit and missed out on all that.
Boy, that's Jody Reed-esque.
That is.
Remember, like, Jody Reed was this infielder for the Dodgers.
Yep.
And the Dodgers offered him, like, I'd have to look it up, but offered him like 3 years and $8 million, a really good contract. And he turned it down because he thought he could do better on the open market.
Right.
And
ended up with a minimum contract.
Right.
Well, by the way, Dennis Schroeder, you don't have to go back to Jody Reed. Dennis Schroeder turned down a lot of money from the Lakers to sign an extension, 4 years, 80, and walked away and ended up, I think, with a veteran's minimum or maybe a mid-level exception in Boston, something like that. Road not taken, definitely a thing. All right, coming up next for you is What's Up, Fool? Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. In the meantime, if you've been injured in a car accident, my friend Jacob wants everybody to think about their long-term health. What's that mean? Well, Jacob gets calls every day from people who a year ago or 2 years ago were in an accident, but they never went to see a doctor. Then 6 months or a year later, they're having intense back pain or a chronic condition, and they think that was from the accident. However, because they never went to see a doctor and had it documented in the first place, it's impossible to prove. So now the person has got to pay out of pocket to go see a doctor, get diagnosed, and get treatment. Instead of all that, if you're injured in an accident, don't wait. Call Jacob. He and his team will schedule all the doctor's appointments for you. So you're immediately getting the health care you need while you're not paying a penny out of pocket. Health is everything, so if you're injured, do not wait. Remember, a lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. I'm going to try this a cappella. Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob. Don't forget you're following, you should follow Call Jacob on Instagram. Go to @call.jacob for great advice and prizes and more. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Morales and Brian Cranston, because that's awesome. All right, so Hunter Dickinson was the best player at Michigan before transferring to Kansas for this upcoming NCAA college basketball season for NIL reasons, of course. But what do you think about this quote for why he made the move? The people hating on me would leave their job right now for a $10,000 increase. I got less than six figures at Michigan for the year. John?
I think he's being honest.
Yeah.
And I think it's refreshing. Frankly, that's why Caleb Williams came to USC. I mean, his NIL money quadrupled. That's why Jordan Addison came to USC.
Right.
I mean, those guys were playing in Oklahoma and Pitt, and there's just no NIL money at those programs.
Right.
But you come out to USC, which is a private school with a lot of graduates who have been hugely successful.
A lot of rich alums, yep.
And all of a sudden you're laughing. Kansas basketball is one of the biggest brands, if not the biggest brand in the country. I don't blame this kid at all, and I applaud him for being honest.
It makes me curious of how much he actually got to go to Kansas. So it's over six figures, right?
Say it again.
What was the original statement? The original statement
he said he got a $10,000 increase. It's got to be way more than that.
Yeah, so he said he got less than six figures at Michigan for the year, so now he's obviously over six figures. Over six figures, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what the cap is. What's the salary cap at Kansas? I wonder if there is a limit.
There is no cap for NIL.
Well, I mean, there's certain it's not an endless supply of
cash. Caleb Williams' estimated NIL value is $4.3 million.
In other words, they've got to pay other players, too.
Right.
You're trying to play multiple players.
Right.
I actually think, look, I'm fascinated by the entire NIL thing, and I would love to know what everybody's making. So good for this kid. Now I've got some sense for what you get paid when you go play basketball in Kansas.
Okay, so should you know what everybody's making?
I'd like to know. I'd like to know who's spending.
Is it just for your
most
own reference, or do you think everybody should know?
Oh, that's a good question.
Here's my position on this. All of us work for ESPN.
Right.
But none of us know what the other people are making. ESPN
right.
knows what all of us are making.
Sure.
So I never criticize anybody for sharing information if they're an employee.
Right,
because
sure.
I think it strengthens the employee. That's frankly, Greg, you're asking a question. This is why you have unions and this is why you have agents, because they know what other people that do what you do are making,
right,
and
but
so
we
they
know
can
what
increase your value.
These are professional athletes. We know what professional athletes
but
make.
Greg's asking about college athletes.
Right. Well, these
but
are professional.
They're
being
point.
Paid. They're professional right. athletes now.
Yeah.
You should know.
So I think it's,
and look at what LeBron James is making right now.
Yeah,
but
I think it's
good for I'm always kind of pro player in these situations. I think it's good for the players if other players know what they're getting.
Know what they're getting or don't know what they're getting.
No. Like, for example, I would love to know what Bronny James is getting to go to USC
yes.
because then that sets the bar for the next guy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
It is actually to the advantage of the player also. So, yeah, I actually think, first of all, I would like to know. I'm fascinated by it. But secondly, I think it's good for people to know exactly, because they're professional athletes. Let's face it.
And so, Greg, you, because you're in management, have access to what the salaries are here, but Jorge doesn't. If Jorge
right.
wants to go in and ask for a raise, he doesn't know what Taylor and Laura are making, so
right.
he doesn't have a point of reference. I'm
there
in
is
favor
no associate
of
it, producers
I'm
union.
Not going to tell you either,
right.
Jorge.
I'm
so,
in favor. No, Laura says she knows what everybody makes.
Oh, yeah, look, Laura, I know.
But I would be in favor of more information for employees.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful.
Me too.
What's up, Foo?
All right, so David Puigross on Twitter sent this to me, and I want to know who's at fault here.
Okay.
A vegan, that's the only reason I know is because they're a vegan. A vegan put a letter on his neighbor's door with a note that read, "Hello, neighbor. Could you please shut your side window when cooking, please? My family are vegan. We eat only plant-based foods, and the smell of meat you cook makes us feel sick and upset. We would appreciate your understanding. Thanks."
Hey, neighbor.
I would not close my window and tell that guy to go pound sand.
I would, yeah. too. This is my house. I am entitled to the windows, whether they are open or whether they are closed. I understand you're vegan, and if that's your lifestyle, good for you. But I'm going to live mine. No apologies.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're not eating the food.
What do you mean?
No, right. I'm with you.
If I want to make bacon, I'm going to make bacon.
And by the way, if I'm cooking Mexican food, and I don't want my house to necessarily smell like that for a week, I want to open the windows.
Yeah, if I'm going to throw a steak in the grill, I want the windows open, I should have the windows open.
Hey, guy, why don't you just close your window?
Yeah, it's like those people.
By the way, Greg. That makes more sense than anything you've said in 3 weeks. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not. You know what? I would write back to that guy. What was the first line? Hi, neighbor.
Hello, neighbor.
I would say, hello, neighbor. Thanks for the note. You be you, I'll be me. Have a great day.
Yep.
You know,
and close your window.
Yeah.
Yeah. And close your own window.
I'm not closing my window because he's inconvenienced. No.
Yeah. See, I always wonder about this because, like, as you guys know, I occasionally will light up a joint in my backyard.
Never.
And, you know, there are neighbors all around me. I make no apology. Like, this is my yard. I worked really hard to be able to buy this house and to be able to be in this yard and be able to afford the weed and be able to afford the taxes on the weed and all that stuff. So if I want to smoke a joint, I'm going to smoke a joint. And stop with the...
I did it. Why are you pointing at me?
You, because you did it.
I don't have it here. I have a clip for next... whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Tony Moskal.
Yeah.
If vegans are so concerned about animals, why are they eating all their food? It's very good,
that's,
Tony.
That's good. That was a good line. That was a good line.
What's up, foo?
What's up, foo? Okay, so I found this on Instagram. Actually, somebody sent me this on Instagram. It's a guy going against Siri on Yo Mama Jokes.
Oh, listen to this, mate. Okay. This is great.
You down for a roast battle?
You're gonna regret this.
Yo Mama's so fat, she fell off both sides of the bed.
Your mama's so stupid, she thought Dunkin' Donuts was a basketball team.
Your mama's so ugly, my screen cracked when I took her photo.
Your mama's so ugly, they won't give her a vaccine so she can keep wearing her mask.
Your mama's so old, her memory's in black and white.
The earth used to be flat, till they buried your mama.
I would say Siri won the battle.
Now, will Siri actually have that?
No, well, what's your question?
Do you know any Yo Mama jokes? What is Okay, I'll start with this one. Your mama's so dumb. When she was in court and they said, order in the court, she says, I'll take a burger with fries.
I don't know a single Yo Mama joke.
Greg,
do you know any?
I used to
Yo
Mama's
know
a whole bunch.
I'm looking them up.
They seem to have fallen out of fashion at
your
some
point. Your mama's
so
fat, when she gets in an elevator, it has to go down.
I bet your Michael knows a ton of these.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't these be right
Twitter,
up?
Twitter, hit us up with your Michael. Best Yo Mama joke.
Here's my question, though. How did that person get Siri to fight with him?
I don't know. Let's listen.
Hey, Siri, you down for a roast battle?
You're going to regret this.
Yo Mama.
Okay, so let's see.
Ask.
Hey, Siri, are you down for a roast battle? I don't have an answer for that.
There. So maybe the guy faked it. Maybe he, you know.
You're going to regret this.
You're going to regret this.
Yeah.
No, I like that, though. I like that.
Oh, man. Your mom is so fat, when she goes camping, the bears hide their food.
Your mama's so fat, she eats wheat thicks.
Your mom is so fat, if she buys a fur coat, a whole species becomes extinct.
Stop.
Your mom is so fat, she stepped on a scale and it said to be continued. Your mom is so fat, I swerved to miss her in my car and ran out of gas.
Your mom was so ugly, her mother had to feed her with a slingshot.
Oh, God.
Your mom is so fat, when she wears high heels, she strikes oil.
Your mama's so stupid, when I told her she lost her mind, she started looking for it.
Very, very.
What's that, fool?
That's going to do it.
Is that all? You're going to end on Yo
I'd rather
mama
end
joke?
On a Yo Mama joke. It's very funny.
I think it's actually very funny. All right. Coming up next for you, Stephen A. said some stuff this morning about Anthony Davis. Now he's maybe backtracking a little bit.
A little bit.
That's coming
full
up next
retreat.
For you. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.